John chapter 15. We want to look at a couple of verses here. Hopefully tonight we'll finish this chapter. I know we've been going through it quite some time now, but there is so much here. As Christ was preparing the disciples to go out into the world and reach the world for Christ, he knew what they would encounter. He knew the difficulties, the trials, and the triumphs. And so throughout this discourse that basically leads up even another chapter in chapter number 16, but he's preparing them for what they would face. And so we've been going through this a little bit slower than the rest of the Gospel of John, simply because this all applies to us, because we too, like those first disciples, have been sent out into the world to reach our world for Christ. And Jesus knows the difficulties and the trials and the triumphs that we would face as well. And so these words apply to us just as they applied to those original 11. Well, let's begin with verse number 22 and read down through the end of the chapter. Here Jesus says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated, both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and now we ask as we investigate it tonight that your Holy Spirit will reveal things to us that will challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This evening, as I consider this passage of Scripture, one thing pops out in my mind, one thing pops out to me as I go over this, and that's sin exposed. We don't like to have our sin exposed. We don't like anyone to tell us what we've done wrong. And we usually don't like to tell others what they're doing wrong. But God has a system whereby he lets both believer and non-believer know that they've sinned. And in these verses, we find three ways in which God exposes sin in the world and in the hearts and lives of believers and, as I said, non-believers alike. In this passage of Scripture, I think the specific application are to those who are unsaved. And so the first thing we see that exposes sin is that Christ's words expose sin. In verse number 22, he said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin." And so he talks about the words that he had spoken on the public ministry. And today we have the Word of God just as authoritative as that words that Jesus Christ spoke. We have the very Bible that has been given, inspired, and preserved from God in heaven. The Word, the written Word, as authoritative as the living Word. And today still, this Word, the Bible, exposes sin directly. Now it's interesting that Jesus says that if he had not spoken these words, they had not had sin. Now what does he mean by this? Because this would seem to contradict some of our doctrine. Our doctrine that we believe is that all men are born with a sin nature. And that the reason that men sin is because they're sinners. We don't become sinners because we've sinned. If we become sinners because we've sinned, that leaves a potential there to never sin and thereby never be a sinner. But the Word of God teaches that we are sinners. We've inherited that sin nature from God or from our parents that came down from Adam and Eve in the very beginning. And so that death has passed upon all men. And so we all are sinners and therefore sin. And so when Jesus says that they had not had sin, he does not mean that they would have been sinless had he not come and spoken to them. So what does it mean? I believe what this means is that Jesus confronted these people and he, as he confronted them, exposed them for their self-righteousness. I believe in their minds and in their hearts they felt they were okay. This is a very religious group of people to which he was sent, the Jewish people. Jesus spent the vast majority of his ministry strictly to the Jews. And so we have to keep it in that context. We know that as he taught at the beginning of his ministry at the Sermon on the Mount, that the Jews thought that they were keeping the Ten Commandments. We hear that so often today. Are you going to heaven? Yes. What makes you think you're going to heaven? Because I've kept the Ten Commandments. I hear it all the time. But Jesus exposes that sin in the Ten Commandments that people think they're doing okay. They think they're sinless in their self-righteousness. But in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that if you're angry with somebody, it's the same as murder. Most people say, well, I've never murdered anybody. But Jesus says it's a little bit deeper than that, what I had in mind. Jesus said that if you just simply look upon another to lust after them, it's as if you've committed the act of adultery. Now, most people would say, I've never committed adultery, therefore I'm not a sinner. I've kept that commandment. But Jesus says it goes a little bit further than that, a little bit deeper than that. God's standards are so much higher than the standards of man that we cannot conceive of or comprehend all that is sin. And so as Jesus came to the earth and he talked to these religious Jews who were so self-righteous in their religiosity, he said, I'm exposing and I have exposed their sin. They thought they had none, but I've shown them they have much. We also remember the incident of the woman who was taken in adultery, brought before Jesus, as the Pharisees had sought to expose him, to ridicule and to denounce his ministry and his person and his claims. But as Jesus challenged them, that the one who had no sin could then throw the first stone and he wouldn't object. We know what happened that day. We know that one by one they dropped the stones that were in their hands ready to throw at this poor woman. And they filed out silently and quietly, probably hanging their heads in shame. And Jesus said, go and sin no more, never condoning sin. But these self-righteous Jews had been exposed as being just that. His words exposed their sin. That still happens today. The Word of God still exposes sin. That's why the attacks have come so rampant against the Word of God. To try to exterminate it, because as men and women read this Bible, the Word of God, they understand their sinfulness and the consequences of that sin. But you see, we like to have the cloak for our sin, don't we? It talks about that here in verse number 22. But now they have no cloak for their sin. How do we cloak our sin? Well, we often try to excuse our sin away. We say the excuse, well, everybody's doing it. Why can't I? Or perhaps we use the excuse that, well, it's not sin for anybody else. There's nothing illegal with what I'm doing. And so we excuse sin away. That's a cloak. A cloak. Those who try to say, well, the Bible does not specifically say thou shalt not. And then they put in their personal pet peeve, or their personal pet sin, I should say. Oftentimes, smoking is one that's used here in that category where people say, well, the Bible does not say thou shalt not smoke. And so they're trying to lay that cloak out to cover their sin through excuses, excusing it away. Another way we cloak our sin is simply through the cloak of denial. We say, what I was doing really isn't sin. And so we've coined new words for sin. We have gay or alternative lifestyle for what God calls sodomites. We have alcoholism, which is supposed to be a disease, instead of drunkenness. We have all kinds of names to excuse away and cloak our sin. It's nothing but a denial that that behavior is wrong and therefore an abomination in God's sight and worthy of sending the sinner to hell. But Christ's words expose those sins, remove the cloak. Another cloak that is often used is simply using it as a covering. Simply the idea of nobody knows that I've sinned, therefore it's okay. The Bible talks about the Jews in the Old Testament who thought if they did things under cover of darkness that God could not see. Cloaks for sin. Another cloak that is often used is pleading ignorance. saying, I didn't know that was sin. I didn't realize, I didn't understand that for what it was. But the fact is, we all equally have the Word of God. Therefore, we all are without excuse. We all have access to the Word and God's commandments. And as we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be no excuses. There'll be no cloaks. The truth will come out. And so we see the Word exposes sin directly. But in verse 23, we see that the response to the Word of God also exposes sin. Look what he says there in verse 23. He that hateth me... Now, why would they hate him? They hate him because of the words he spoke. Because it confronted their sin. It exposed their sin. And so they respond with hatred. And Christ says, they don't only hate me, but they hate my Father also. Now, remember, keep this in context. He's saying this to the Jews, or about the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation was very zealous in their worship of God the Father. But Jesus said, if they reject me, they've rejected the Father, a claim of deity. But their response to the conviction that's brought out by the Word of God reveals more sin. Because as they reject the Word of Christ, they're rejecting His substitutionary death. As they reject the Word of Christ, they reject the existence of the Father. As they reject the words of Christ, they reject the conviction in the written Word. Their Bible gathers dust and their seat in church remains empty. Their response in itself exposes their sinfulness. The Word of God exposes sin. But we see secondly in the next couple of verses, not only do Christ's words expose sin, but Christ's works expose sin. Christ's works, he talks about that in verse 24, when he says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. So again, we understand that phrase, they had not done sin, as we did in the previous verse. Not that they were sinless, but because they refused to acknowledge the works that Christ had done as being from God. They did everything they could to deny it, but they couldn't. They could not deny that Christ healed so many, because those so many were there active in their society. Their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and cousins were all about them. They could not deny it. It's interesting today that men try to deny the supernatural aspect of Christ's ministry. I don't know why they think they are so much more accurate and wise than those who were there in the day and age it all took place. But they try to deny it still today. But Christ's work still exposed their sin of faithlessness. It exposes their sin of being lost, rejecting Christ. Jesus says, but now have they both seen me and hated both me and the Father. Yes, the Jews claimed zealousness for God, but rejected the works of Christ, proved... I'm getting that all mixed up. Trying to read it here, I shouldn't try to read my notes. It says, the Jews claim zealousness for God, but since the works of Christ prove that He was sent from God, their rejection of Him intensified their sin. We don't always think of that. We think all sinners go to hell, and they do. All sinners without Christ. But we don't generally think about is that there's different degrees of sin. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In verse number 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What Jesus is teaching here, as he takes some of the wickedest cities of the Old Testament era, and he says, if I had been there and the works that I had done had been done in those cities, they would have repented, they would have acknowledged God, and therefore they would have been saved. He says, but they'd still rejected me, but the fact is they did not have the opportunity, they did not have the privilege that these cities have. And he said, because these cities in Jesus' day have had the privilege and the opportunity of seeing Christ firsthand, do his works, say his words, he says judgment's going to be greater for those with greater opportunity, those with greater privilege. And so we as Christians have greater privilege and opportunity. Therefore, our judgment will be greater if we remain in our sin. And yet those who live in our land that have heard the Word of God, that know the difference between right and wrong from the Word of God, their judgment will be greater than the pagan who never heard the Word of God. There are differences in judgment. These Jews who heard the words from Christ's mouth, saw the works at his hands, will be judged far greater for all eternity than those who had never heard nor seen. All will suffer, but some will suffer greater. But you know, every sinner who repents and is saved, talking about the works of Christ, exposing sin, every sinner who repents and is saved gives testimony of the saving power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as they are saved and expose the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they reveal the sin of those who have rejected him, because they say that Christ is nothing, just a great teacher, just another man, or just a fictional character of times past, just a legend. Those who claim that and observe those whose lives have been changed have their sin exposed. One of the greatest passages of Scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse number 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so we find in that passage of Scripture that though some were in the depths of sin, Christ washed them, he cleansed them, they became new creatures in Christ, and that work of Christ still today bears testimony that Christ's words are real, his works are authentic, and it exposes the sin of all who reject Christ. And so every saved sinner, as a work of God, exposes sin. But we see a third thing that exposes sin here in John 15. Christ's words expose sin. Christ's works expose sin. But we also understand from the last two verses that Christ's witnesses expose sin. Christ's witnesses expose sin. Verse 26, we're reintroduced to the Comforter who would be sent from the Father by Christ after he ascended into heaven. But the Comforter is, "When the Comforter is come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now the charismatics, now this is nothing to do with our message tonight, but the charismatics need to read this verse. They think the Holy Spirit testifies of himself and glorifies himself. Christ says, the Bible says, he testifies of Christ. But the Holy Spirit exposes sin in the lives of the righteous and the unrighteous. We'll talk more about that as we move into chapter 16, where the Bible tells us that in verse number 8 of 16, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And so the Holy Spirit, as a witness of Christ, exposes sin. We find another of Christ's witnesses who expose sin in verse 27. Jesus says to these first 11 apostles and to you and me as their spiritual descendants, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." And so we are his witnesses, and it's our responsibility, it's our duty to expose sin in our community and among individuals. Sometimes our witness isn't what it ought to be. We're all witnesses if we claim Christ as our Savior. The question is, are we good witnesses or are we poor witnesses? We're all witnesses. Good witness, an effective witness, is one who consistently dwells with Christ. Notice what he says there, "Because ye have been with me from the beginning." a consistent and a continual walk with Christ makes these apostles a faithful and a good witness, exposing the sin in the world about them, just as Christ did while he was there. And so we are called to expose sin in our generation as his witnesses. But these are the three means by which God exposes sin in the world about us: his words, his works, and his witnesses. May we have attentive ears to each of these three witnesses for Christ in our own lives, and may we utilize these in our society about us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us about sin and exposes it. Thank you for your wonderful works in saving souls today that again exposes sin and righteousness. Father, thank you for allowing us to be a witness for you. May we be faithful. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.